I have to admit that when I was a little girl, I was afraid of the dark. It was hard for me, particularly, to sleep over at a friend's house. In the summertime, my family would go up to Salem, Connecticut, which is north and west of New Haven. There, they had a big house where my relatives would stay, and my best friend in the world, Heidi, lived right down the dirt road from where we were staying. And Heidi always wanted me to sleep over, because that's what friends did. I remember being 8 years old, packing my little bag with my nightgown and my toothbrush and everything, staying at her house, having fun, brushing my teeth, getting into my nightgown, getting into my sleeping bag on the floor of her little bedroom. And then she goes to sleep, and the lights are all out, and it's dark, and I'm lying there. And all I can hear is her breathing. And I was so scared. Heidi and I liked to climb in and out of her window, her bedroom window. Her little house only had one floor. So I climbed out of her window in my nightgown, and I walked all the way back home. I remember looking at my 8-year-old feet on the dirt road in the dark, trying to find my way to the light of my house where I knew my parents were probably still awake and I wouldn't be alone. I've gotten a lot older and I'm not afraid to sleep almost anywhere now. But I think that even us grown-ups, somewhere deep down inside, we're still scared about the darkness. We're scared about ending up alone, totally alone, and particularly when we die. I think the fear is, what if there's nothing? Just an abyss. In the very beginning in the book of Genesis, when God creates the whole universe, the darkness is not created. The darkness is just there. And God says, "Let there be light." And God declares that the light is good. But God does not declare that the darkness is good. The darkness just is. And I think that we are afraid of it. Back in 1962, there was an incident that happened between Russian submarines and American submarines, an incident that was so dangerous and so close that it could have resulted in World War III. But we Americans just began to learn this story in about the year 2002. There were four Russian submarines, and they were sent from the coast off the eastern coast of Russia all the way around, and they were supposed to stay off the coast of Cuba. But in order to make that enormous trip, it took them 3 weeks, and they went through a horrible storm at sea. Many of the sailors were absolutely nauseated and very sick. They became dehydrated. Many of them ran fevers. By the time they got off the coast of Cuba, not only were they exhausted and dehydrated, but many of them began to get very hot. Neither their bodies nor their submarines were built for the heat that was off the Cuban coast. And inside of the submarine, the temperature got as high as 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Under all this stress and all this physical discomfort, The crew noticed that there were American submarines that had been patrolling the Florida coast, and they were coming towards them. The captain, the Russian captain, panicked. Without consulting anyone, all by himself, he declared that if they came any closer, he was going to have to make the first move. We're talking about nuclear submarines here. On that Russian submarine, there was a 36-year-old young man named Vasily Klimkov. He went up to the captain and said, "Sir, please talk to me. Let's talk this over. Please just be with me. I want you to think about this. I think we need to wait. Please talk to me. I know it's your decision, but I feel strongly that we should just wait right now." By God's grace, that captain was able to pause, to listen to this young man, and to wait. The American submarines came a little closer, and then they stopped, and they did nothing. The Russian subs sank deeper, and then they went home. It wasn't until the early 2000s that this story came out. And by that time, that young 36-year-old man who had had the courage to just be with that captain had already died. So we never gave him credit for what he did. When that captain was so alone and trying to make a decision all by himself, that young man stood with him, counseled him, and helped him. And maybe saved us all. We are in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, the word Epiphany means aha, it's a revelation, a miracle, a sign of God. And today we remember the baptism of Jesus, a sign of a great miracle. We as Christians, we vow to follow Jesus, and the first thing Jesus did was he got baptized. And the first thing we're supposed to do is get baptized, which is why we have the baptismal font right at the entrance of our church. And when Jesus was baptized and he was coming up out of the water, God said, "You are mine. You are my son. You are good. You are not alone. You are mine." How many of you are baptized? I hope it's most of you. Are you? Yeah, good job. Do you know that from the moment of your baptism, God declared that you belong to God and that you are not alone? And that doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter the darkness. You are. You're going to encounter darkness and evil and temptation, chaos. Nowhere does God ever say that your lives are going to be easy. Jesus' life wasn't easy, but God does make you this one promise in your baptism. God will be with you every single moment of every day. You will never be left alone again. You do not need to be afraid of the dark, because the light of Christ lives in you. Today we're going to baptize Dave over here. Dave and his wife recently came to us because their son Dennis had died, and for years they had carried his ashes with them. And they wanted to know if they could bury Dennis's ashes in our garden. And of course I said yes, because I know that Dennis is not alone, that God loves Dennis. And so we buried their son's ashes, and now Dave is going to be baptized. And God is going to say, "Dave, you're mine. I will never leave you." You know, there's a beautiful story about a 12-year-old boy who lived on a farm, and he was trying to gather firewood. That's what he did. He gathered firewood for his family, kindling. One of the best things that burns in a fire is the stump of a pine tree, because there's a lot of resin in it, and it burns really well. So one day, one morning, this little boy was looking around the woods outside of his house, and he saw a big stump of an old pine tree. So he ran back, and he got his shovel, and he started shoveling and shoveling and trying to dig this big stump out of the ground. He spent all day sweating. His arms and legs were aching, but he couldn't get that stump out of the ground. Finally, as the sun was setting, his dad came home. He found his son out in the woods and said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Dad, I've been working all day trying to get this stump out of the ground so we can use it for firewood, because it's going to burn so well, but I can't seem to get it out. Look, I've been trying this." And he showed his dad all the ways he had been digging around and around. And his dad said, "Son, you're not giving it your full strength." And that kind of made him mad. "Dad, I've been working all day. Can't you tell that I'm sore and I've been sweating?" And his father said again, "Son, you're just not giving it your full strength." "What do you mean?" he said. "I can't do any more than this. I'm absolutely exhausted." "My son," he said, "you're not giving it your full strength because you haven't asked for my help." Everything that you go through, every hardship you go through, you will not give it your full strength if you don't ask for God's help. Remember that God has promised never to leave you. The greatest miracle of all of our lives, us Christians, is our baptism. That was the greatest thing that ever happened to us. And no matter how hard things get, God will never leave you. Don't forget that. You're not using your full strength if you don't rely on God. You are baptized. God has already said, "You are mine." Don't forget who you are and whose you are. Amen.